Welcome to Fresh Fire's weekly podcast.
So I want to talk to you, getting through this series on these four words that draw us closer to God. The first one was obedience. The last one I did was on giving. This one today, I want to talk to you about servanthood. Hey, see what I did there? Servanthood. Philippians and chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, this is verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, the kingdom of God has a way of working in which it operates different to the way the world works. In the kingdom of God, the only way up is down. The only way to life is death. The only way to receive is to give. Everything is on its head. Or rather, should we say, it's the right way up. The world operates on a completely different system. But I want to suggest to you that we, as followers of Christ, we have the ability to draw closer to God through developing a mindset of servanthood. Mother Teresa says this: my vocation is to belong to Jesus, to cleave to Jesus. The work is the fruit of my love, and my love is expressed in my work. Prayer in action is love in action. This is a woman who gave her life and devoted her life to serving others. Why? Because she felt nearest to God when she was in the midst of people, when she was serving. So often, especially in a church like ours, we feel the most nearest to God in worship, when we get the goosebumps and we get the shivers and the shakes and the trembles and the falls. I love that. I do. But God is found in lowly places. God is found in places of service and dedication and commitment and honor of others. God is found in low places. And so it's important that if we want to become effective servants of Jesus, if we want to draw closer to God in this area of servanthood, we need to recognize that humility is the first thing that gives us access into a life of serving God. You see, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Some of us are praying for more grace in our lives when actually what God's looking for is more humility in our lives. Last year was a year for me that humbled me on many levels. In areas of my life where I thought I had it nailed and I thought I had it all sorted out, where I thought I could troubleshoot every situation and fix every problem, God humbled me in a way that brought me clarity of perspective again. That it's only from a face-down posture of loving and serving others rather than having this overinflated self-perception of how you can navigate this way through, understanding that actually the lowest place is the clearest place for vision for your life. And if you've been in a season where you've not been able to hear God, if you've been in a season where you've not been able to get the clarity of vision and direction, I want to encourage you, take the lowly place and to serve others and serve the God from a posture of great humility. I mean, the ultimate example is Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, leaves the glory and the splendor of heaven to come to earth and to get underneath people, to lift them up into a glorious place. You see, the Bible said all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus came to lift people back up from their sin, from their despair, from their sorrow and their pain, to lift them up and to put them back into a place of glory. And it should be the heart of every believer to see that for each other, to see glory being restored to another person, to see someone else come up a little bit higher. This is why in the body of Christ there's no room for the competitive spirit. There's no room for tearing others down. When you do that, you start to partner with a different kind of spirit. But the spirit that comes with Jesus Christ, the spirit of grace and love, seeks to see restoration, seeks to see people lifted up to a place where they get to touch God again, to experience Him. And so I want to encourage you to start to be ones who are postured in humility. Charles Dickens says this: no one is useless in this world who lightens the burden of another. What are we doing? We don't want to be carry the attitudes of Cain, who killed his brother. And when Adam came and said, Where's Abel? Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, I don't know, what's it got to do with me? Why should I be bothered where he is? You know, we've got to get away from this individualistic attitude and to start developing a mindset, as it says in Philippians 2 and verse 5, that we consider others, that we think about others, we think about how we are going to minister to them. The next thing is that gives us access to a life of servanthood is this: it's love. Love. You will never serve what you don't love. I love to get Mrs. G to give me a massage. She doesn't mind doing the shoulders, but I tell you what, she hates feet. She absolutely hates feet. I love feet. I don't know why, I just love feet. I think I'm going to spiritualize and say it's because, you know, how lovely are the feet of those who bring good news, you know. But I love feet. And so I'll spend like 3 hours on Mrs. G's feet and she'll love me for them all day long. She's like, oh. When she does my feet, let me show you. This is my foot. That's the treatment my foot gets. You can't serve what you don't love. You can't serve what you don't love. Jesus has this incredible love that passes beyond the muck and the filth and the grime that sticks to our feet. He has a love that passes beyond that. He has a love that passes beyond the weird fungal toenails. He has a love that goes beyond that horrible cheesy smell. Yeah, he loves my feet. But, and it's demonstrated with his disciples when he takes out of his outer garments and he wraps a towel around his waist and he gets down on his knees and he begins to wash their feet. He chooses to love them in all their mess, in all their grime, in all their stuff. And he postures himself in such a place of humility to demonstrate something so special about the Father. And, you know, you're familiar with the story. You have Peter, who thinks he's got it sorted. Cocky, arrogant Peter. "You shall not wash my feet." And Jesus says, "If you don't let me do this, then you can have no part in me." Oosh. What was he saying there? This was the night that the baton was going to be passed over. This is Jesus' last night. He knows his mission and training these guys is done. So that he's moving them from servants to friends. He's getting ready to empower them with the kingdom of God and the charge of the ministry of the Messiah. So you guys are going to carry this on. Right? And this is the last thing I need to do as part of the handover. I am now coming lower so that you guys are going to get lifted up. We've seen that principle throughout the scripture, right? I must decrease, you must increase. Jesus comes down underneath, starts to clean their feet to get them ready to go out with the gospel, okay? Beautiful feet and all that. He's there, and Peter is resistant because there's something in him that's a false humility, a false sense of identity, and he's seeing Jesus demonstrating real leadership. You know what Peter's thinking? He's going soon. I'm taking over. I ain't doing this. So you actually putting me off the job now, Jesus, because I was happy with the dead raising, the way you just said that word and he come out in his grave clothes. I want that. I want the crowds looking. Yeah? But Jesus says, unless you let me do this, then you can't participate in ministry. If you will not humble yourself, if you will not follow this example I'm showing you, then you can't lead. You can't influence. You can't change nothing. You see, it wasn't power that called Lazarus out. It was love. It wasn't power that raised Jairus. It was love. Remember, power without love is what? It's just clanging cymbals, right? And so Jesus is modeling something deeply profound to Peter in this moment. He's demonstrating, you have authority, but if you do not have love, you got nothing. It won't work. You'll be stood there, look a fool. Lazarus, come forth. Everybody watching? Watch this. Nothing. How many times have we forgotten to love but pursued power and we've ended up with egg on our face? I mean, me, tons of times in my journey of going after signs and wonders. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says this, "Let all that you do be done in love." That means love has to be a choice. Has to be a choice. You have to intentionally choose. It's not a feeling. You have to choose. I'm going to love you back to health. I'm going to love you back to strength. I'm going to love this house so that it will grow. I'm going to love this community so that it will hear the gospel. Mother Teresa says this, "We must be able to radiate the joy of Christ, express it in our actions. If our actions are just useful actions that give no joy to the people, our poor people would never be able to rise up to the call which we want them to hear. the call to come closer to God. We want to make them feel that they are loved. If we went to them with a sad face, we would only make them more depressed. So the intentionality of choosing to love, choosing to represent God to people. Sometimes I feel we are bad adverts. Bad advertisements for people to love Jesus. Why? Because we're demonstrating something that is so real and transformative, but we don't look like he touched us. We don't look like he changed us. And often all it is a choice to say, I know my God loves me with an everlasting love. I've got enough to give away. I know I'm filled to the measure of the fullness of Christ. I've got all of Jesus to give away. I know that joy unspeakable is on the inside of me. I've got so much to give away. If we shift our mindset to recognize that everything he's done for us is a gift we can give to others. Lastly, another way into servanthood is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Ephesians 5:1 says this, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting, ready? This is the line, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. The way we serve each other, the way we honor each other, the way we celebrate each other is a sign that we revere Christ in one another. I mean, this is a real challenge for us. It's wonderful when we sense the presence of God come in the room and we're reverent and we're sensitive to him in that way. But do you know what? The presence of God lives in every believer. And I wonder if we paid more time instead of discerning their sin and discerning their demons, that we actually sought to discern the presence. I wonder how much more we would honor, how much more we would serve. Was it not Jesus who said, when I was in prison, you never came. When I was naked, you never clothed me. When I was hungry, you never fed me. And they said, when did we never do that? And then he addressed the poor. And he said, where there was poor, you didn't feed them. You neglected me. Where they were naked and you didn't clothe them, you neglected me. Think about that. That in the midst of people is God himself. In there somewhere. In the person next to you is the glory of God. And we sing there sometimes, especially in churches like this, that are prophetic and discerning. It's like, I sense the spirit of rage. Spend a spirit of witchcraft here. To bind. And we understand that. That's the flip side of the same coin. But more than that, we should discern the presence of God. The glory of God is in this person. The mark of God is on this person's life. You visitors this morning, the mark of God is on your life. There's a destiny over you. God wants to take your life and turn it around. Absolutely upside down and give you such a hope and a future you never could imagine it. That's how good he is. That's what he's got for your life. Why don't we stand? I want to finish. Hebrews 10 says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Think about that. The eternal context. The Lord is coming again soon. He's coming. And in light of that, it says, consider how to stir each other up in love and good works, encouraging one another in this hour. And so fear of the Lord is a pathway into serving others. Love is the pathway into serving others. And humility is a pathway in to serving others.